Well, good morning, Second Service folks. If it looks like I'm a little fragile today, it's because I'm a little fragile today. Your eyes are not deceiving you. Had back surgery this past week, but for 52 Easters, I have preached, and I didn't want to break the string this morning. So for some of you, I'm going to date myself. Rolled out of bed this morning, the kids had the morning news on. Brian Gumbel was talking about fighting in Lebanon. Some senator was squawking about the bad economy. It's going to get worse, you see. We need a change in policy. There's a local paper rolled up in a rubber band. One more sad story, one more that I can stand. Just once, how I'd like to hear the headlines say, not much to print today, can't find nothing bad to say, because nobody robbed a liquor store on the lower part of town. Nobody OD'd, and nobody burned a single building down. Nobody fired a shot in anger. Nobody had to die in vain. We sure could use a little good news today. I'll come home this evening. I bet the news will be the same. Somebody takes a hostage and somebody steals a plane. How I want to hear the anchor man talk about a county fair, how we've cleaned up the air and how everybody learned to care. Woe tell me nobody was assassinated in the whole third world today. And in the streets of Ireland, all the children had to do was play. And everybody loves everybody in the good old USA. We sure could use little good news today. Well, I've stopped by this morning to give you a little good news. And it's recorded in Matthew chapter 28. And I'll read the first 8 verses. Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he's going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Father, thank you for the Easter story. Not just so we can gather in your house and sing songs. Not so we can just have family fellowships and friends over for a holiday. But because the Easter story is the hope of the world. It's because Jesus loved us and gave himself for us, died in our place, was raised from the grave, reigns on high, and ever lives to make intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Thank you for the Easter story. In Jesus' name. Amen. That Friday must have been the worst of all days, especially for those disciples who had followed him through those narrow corridors for 3 years. They had watched him as he had healed the blind. They had watched him as he had raised the dead. They had listened closely as he had preached miraculous messages, life-changing and transforming sermons. They had hoped that he would be with them forever. In fact, he said he would. He said he'd never leave them nor forsake them. And no sooner had he said that than he began to talk about the fact that tear this temple down and it'll have to be raised up again. I'm going to prepare a place for you. If I go, I'll come again. And his disciples were filled with confusion. How can it be so? He never leaves us nor forsakes us, and yet he's going away from us, and then he'll come back for us. How could it be so? And to make that Friday even more gruesome, he who had been kept in Caiaphas's house overnight was brought up to appear before Roman soldiers, was beaten. A crown of thorns was plunged on his head. A Roman crucifix was placed on his shoulders. And they demanded that he carry that cross up the Via Dolorosa, lay down upon it, and be nailed to it. And over the next 6 hours, the sandy ground beneath that cross soaked up the blood of the only begotten Son of God. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he cried, "Tetelestai, it is finished." And he breathed his last, and he gave up his spirit into the hands of his Father. They came to break his legs to make sure that he was dead, but to fulfill Scripture, when they saw that he already had died, no bone in his body was broken. They took him down before the cross somewhere before 6 in the afternoon, for it was Passover season. They hurriedly wrapped him in clothing, put some myrrh upon him, some perfumes of sorts, and laid his body in the borrowed tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. A Roman soldier rolled a stone in front of the door. It was sealed, and it looked as if, for all practical purposes, the Savior was dead. The disciples were alone, and all hope was gone. If Friday was a dark day, Saturday must have been even darker. They didn't sleep that night for fear of the Jews, and the door was locked. And all through that next day, the question was, where shall we go? What shall we do? What now? That one that we thought would lead us from Roman bondage into the presence of the Father is dead. He's buried. It's over. Early on Sunday morning, a small band of women purposed to make their way toward the tomb, hoping to talk the soldiers into rolling the stone away so that they could go inside and more permanently prepare the body for burial. But as they made their way toward the tomb, the earth began to tremble. The ground began to shake. The soldiers, in fear for their lives, watched as the stone was rolled away. Angels had done a work, not so Jesus could get out, but so the women could look in. They stood there, and as the women arrived, they said, "We know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified, but who is not here. He has risen. Just come and see where our Lord lay. And when you have done that, go and tell his disciples that he will go before them and that they will see him in Galilee. The simplicity of the good news. First, you find comfort. How arresting their souls must have been. How shattered their dreams. How their hopes must have been crushed. As the patriarch of the family passes away suddenly, and the whole family gathers around, crying out, "What now shall we do?" That was the position and the place the disciples found themselves. He who has led us, taught us, blessed us, covered us, and protected us is gone. He's buried. He's hopelessly in the ground. "Be calm," the angel said. "Don't be afraid. Your heart need not be empty, because the tomb is. Your heart need not be empty, because he has conquered death and hell and the grave." It's as if the angels looked at the women and said, "Don't you know? Our God is able." And maybe they thought, "Able to do what?" And perhaps the angels answered, "He is able. Whatever he must do, he simply is able." What a calming effect. Death is defeated. Come look, this is where he was, but this is not where he is. Our God is sovereign. He's in absolute control. Saturday night, all hell rejoiced. But listen, not one murmur. Hell is quieted, for it is heaven now that rejoices. It is not hell that shouts, "The victory ours." It is heaven that shouts, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And so not only was there a calmness and a courageousness about it, there was such confidence. "Do not be afraid. He said he would never leave you nor forsake you. He hasn't. He's still here. Tell the disciples. He will go before them. They will see him again. His spirit will fill them. His power will overwhelm them. They will never know, never be alone. Not for a moment, not for an instant, not for a second. He will never leave them again." What calmness, what confidence, what courageousness. Listen to his promise. "I'm going, but I'm coming. Your needs, oh, I'll meet them by my riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Your helplessness, your hopelessness, I'll wipe away every tear. I am. Not I was, not I shall be. I am. Not only is there the comfort of that good news, there is a challenge in this passage. Come and see. Come and see. The little word "come" doesn't just mean step forward and glance. It means, would you examine the situation and make a decision based on the evidence? Come, look, see, study, discover, and know. It is said that while researching the Bible to find all the errors possible to refute the claims of the resurrection of Christ, one atheist was stopped in his tracks as, while trying to prove the resurrection could not have happened, he became convinced that indeed it did. Come and see. There could be those in this room this morning. It's Easter, you know. The old preacher used to say on Easter Sunday, bid people a Merry Christmas, for you shall not see them again until then. And at Christmas, tell them Happy Easter, for you shall not see them again until then. So there may be some in this room this morning that because it is an Easter holiday, you have come to the house of God. I challenge you for you to examine the evidence. Why would dozens of men and women burn at the stake for a faith that did not exist? How could, out of a dozen, millions be born again and build churches around the world and send out missionaries and go and tell the gospel of Jesus Christ were it not so that he is alive? How could we live our lives full of hope, integrity, dignity, and honesty if we did not have the example of the Son of God who is perfect and sinless in all of his ways? Examine the empty tomb and tell me, if he's not alive, where is he? The Roman soldiers certainly did not let him escape. All of hell would have done anything to have kept him in the grave. The only explanation is a power beyond Rome, a power beyond Satan, a power from Almighty God did what no other power could do. It rolled away the stone and raised the Son of God back to life. It does not mean just examine, come, but see. See. We see with these eyes, but the see of the Scripture means more than sight. Not just a glance, but study this. See means to know, it means to understand, it means to look deeply into until this is not a fantasy, until it is a fact. Look deeply until this is not just about a procedure or a principle, but it's about a person. Look until you see that Easter is not about a new suit, an Easter egg, a family reunion, a great meal or fellowship. It's about an empty grave and a throne on the right hand of the Father where Jesus sits. See it. See it not just with your eyes. See it in your mind. See it in your heart. See it in your life. See it in the change that it can make in every one of us. It's comfort, it's challenging, and there is a simple command, just two words, go and tell. Go is called the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, the passage I've read further down in that passage. It's the Great Commission. It's the commission that says to the church, go into all the world, preach the gospel, baptize believers, disciple them, and his presence will ever linger with us. But here's what some of us sometimes forget. You are the church. It's not corporately that all of us should leave this place today and 1,000 people go somewhere in the city of Conway and all of us shout to one singular person, we've come to tell. Here's what it is. It's when you go to your neighbor's house. It's when you shop at Walmart. It's when you go back to school. It's when you buy gasoline. It's when you come into contact with anybody, anywhere. You are encouraged. Yea, you are commanded to go with a purpose. It's not go, it's as you go. You're not going to stay here. The moment the final amen is over, you will scatter from this place quickly. as you go, tell the world about Jesus. But there's a second word, tell. A British minister named W.E. Sangster lost his vocal cords due to a particular disease. He barely could whisper, and only by those so very close to him could he be heard. He awakened one Easter morning and said, "How terrible it is to awaken on Easter and not be able to shout, 'He's alive.'" And then he said, "The only thing more terrible would be to awaken on Easter morning and have nothing to shout." No, you must not have heard me. We woke up this morning with something to shout. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. He's alive. He's risen. He's on his throne. Easter is not a holiday. It's a holy day. Jesus has come forth from the grave. Go and tell. And why should you tell? Because, to be honest with you, people are dying. Every second, four people are born and two die. While I have sat before you and spoken to you, 4,000 souls have gone out into eternity. Before the day is ended, hundreds of thousands of people will face eternity with or without Jesus Christ. Buddha, Confucius, agnostics, and atheists have no hope at judgment. Only those who can say, "He's my Savior. He is alive and He lives in me," have the hope of glory in Christ Jesus the Lord. Why should you go and why should you tell? Because people are dying. Because people are deceived. This world is filled with counterfeits. Authenticity is hard to find. Only a few here and there are the real thing and know the real thing. It does not make you as a Christian nor me as a Christian better than anyone else on the face of this earth, but it sure does settle my eternal destination. It sure does cover my sin. It sure does take care of my depravity. His blood has washed me clean, and that's what makes all the difference. People are dying, people are deceived, and oh yes, people are despondent. In 50 plus years of ministry, I've never done as much counseling as I do these days. I've never talked to as many people who have lost their way, who are helpless and hopeless as to what tomorrow may bring. Some of you who have been here a while may remember that years ago, just after we'd moved into this building, one Sunday morning as I stood in the altar after a message, I don't know what we had sung. I'm convinced it was about Jesus because I know Brother Darrell. I don't know what I preached, but I'm quite sure it was about Jesus because I know me. A man came from the back of this pie section. I'd never seen him before. I had a hard time getting here. He was weeping and stumbling. When he got here, he said, "Pastor, something made me turn in here today. I was headed down the highway toward the river. There is a loaded gun laying on the front seat of my car. I had every intention of taking my life 5 minutes after I passed this building. But the cars were lined up and people were turning in, and something said to me, 'It's your last chance. Turn in there.'" He did that morning. We prayed together that morning. I followed up the following week. I got a hold of his parents. He'd flunked out of school. I sent him home, where I hoped he'd find the refuge that he needed. This world is filled with that kind of despondency. Can you imagine what the disciples must have felt like? All their hope was gone. They had left their fishing, their tax collecting, their homes. They had banked it all upon the Messiah. No plan B for any one of them. It was Christ or nothing. And now Christ was dead and in the grave. And the angel said, "You need to go and tell. And one of the first groups you need to tell is his disciples. They've lost hope. They're helpless. They're in despair. The door's locked for fear of the Jews. Peter is saying, 'I'm just going back to my old way of life.' Thomas is saying, 'I can't believe in the resurrection.' Go find them. Tell them that he goes before them and that they will see him again. Tell the despondent, no matter what the doctor says, there's a great physician. Tell the despondent, no matter what the spouse says, God is still able. Tell that parent, no matter where the prodigal is, God can still bring them home. Tell the whole world that Jesus is alive and well, and that what he once did, he can do, and that all you and I must do is believe that Easter is not just another holiday on the calendar. It's the day when life defeated death and when God took over his universe and rules and reigns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We could use a little good news. And in my humble way this morning, I've tried to share with you the best news I know of. It's Easter. Jesus is alive. This world's in a mess. Lots of folks are dying. Many are deceived and some are terribly despondent. But there is hope. And his name is Jesus Christ. And he lives forever. And because he lives, we shall live also. May we stand. Pastors will be in the altar. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, what a day it would be for that to take place in your life. If you want to become a part of our church family, as some did in first service this morning, we'd surely invite you to come. As God speaks to your heart, as He talks to you, listen, obey, and respond. You pastors, you come, you be here. Daryl leads us in this song of encouragement.
God sent His Son.